welcome to Another Apologetic. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. I have Flex and Preston here with me, as always.
Yo, your boy Preston. I'm here, like always. Chilling,
yep. How are you doing? How are you doing this week?
Man, I don't even know, you guys. You know, I try to come and I try to be very energetic. I'm just not feeling the energy at the moment. I have had a very long week. Some personal things with family and friends that's going on. You know, our house is taking forever to go through the approval process. So we still don't have a closing date. It's just been, you know, we had to get our car fixed the other week. I had to take off work. It's just like when it rains, it pours. And it just feels like there's so many things that I'm having to just kind of get through in order to just make it to the next day until something else happens. And so I've been feeling overwhelmed. I've been feeling very depleted. So I'm going to try my best, you guys, to give you guys the Preston energy. But honestly and truly, I am like two croaks away from just passing out. I'm so tired.
Yeah, I understand. And I think we need to make space for people like having, you know, not the best days. And so I've been thinking a lot about that too. Like managing other people's expectations, but you know, we're going to make room for you to have an overwhelming week, this week.
Thank you. You know, but I try to operate under that Beyonce mentality. You know, she was like, when I meet fans, they don't care what I'm going through. They want to meet Beyonce, you know, so I have to give them Beyonce. I have to turn on the charm type of thing, no matter what's happening. And I try to operate by that when it comes to this podcast, because you guys are hearing us at one moment in time during, you know, the week. And you know, and I want to provide that energy, that entertainment, you know. So I try my best, but today is going to be a struggle. So enough about me. How are you, Mona? How are things?
You know, I feel like I'm in a very similar boat to where you are for different reasons. It's midterms time for me. And I've been trying to juggle that and everyone else's expectations of me, which is like, you know, going to these meetings and like doing data analysis for other projects and all these other things, just a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's just like every single day I set out to do like a certain number of things and I feel like I always fall short. So, yeah, I think like it's been stressful. Like I definitely am a little stressed out right now. But you know what? I think it's like, I just always think about these things. And like, once I get through it, I look back and I'm like, oh, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
And so I'm just kind of waiting for that moment where I feel like, okay, yeah, I got through that and it wasn't so bad. And I've definitely been more stressed before, more stressed than this. And so, yeah. And maybe Mercury is in retrograde or something.
Probably. I mean, you know, Serena's in Venus or something like that. I just feel like it's too much. And, you know, my Gemini sun is just, you know, not having fun at the moment. What are you doing, though, to, like, manage your stressors at the moment? Are you still going to the gym and doing those things?
Yeah, I've made gym a non-negotiable for me now. And so I don't go necessarily every day, but, like, I make a point to at least go for like a walk if I can't make it to the gym or something like that. Like I'll go, I'll just get outside and like just get away from school, like force myself. It's become a non-negotiable for me to do that. And so I started rock climbing recently. And that's been really fun because like, I feel like I fell into a rut with like weightlifting. Because I think I went from being very strong to like kind of having to quit lifting during the pandemic and then coming back and not being able to like lift at the same level. Right. And so it kind of like was unmotivating, and I kind of felt like I need to find a new way to like enjoy working out. And so right now that's been rock climbing, because I feel like I'm really challenging my body, and like, yeah, it's been like what I needed right now. So I go like, I do that like every other day. And then the days that I don't do that, I will either go to the gym and lift or go for a walk. And yeah, I've made that a non-negotiable.
Literally, the gym has become negotiable. And it is literally the first thing that has gone to the wayside. Because everything else, I feel like I can't take off my plate. Mm-hmm. Like I can't not go to work. I can't not be in a relationship. And, you know, I mean, I guess I could, but, you know, I don't want that to happen.
Right.
You know, everything else just feels like I have to do it. Like, we're already in the midst of this home. So, like, I can't just back out. Mm-hmm. So the gym has just felt like the thing that I'm sacrificing in order to sleep more, mm-hmm. Which isn't good, because in turn, like, my mood isn't as regulated. I always tell a difference in my anxiety, my irritability, if I'm not going to the gym. Mm-hmm. And those have been at an all-time high at the moment because I'm not going. And so kudos to you. I mean, to make that a non-negotiable and at least do something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think sleep's important too, though. Like, that is another one of my non-negotiables. It sounds like it's one of yours too, but like, yeah, I think sleep's like the most important health habit that we have, except for drinking water. Water and sleep. And I've been sucking. I haven't been drinking my water, so.
And penis.
There it is.
I was like, what are my other non-negotiables? Like, oh, right. Food, sleep, pain. They all kind of go hand in hand. So, you know.
Yep.
It's fine.
Yep, it's fine. But yeah, I definitely think there's something going on. Because, there was just one day where literally everyone around me was having, like, the worst day. So if you're feeling like things are just not going your way, know that you're not alone, and it'll pass. It will pass. But yeah.
Will it pass? No, it will pass. I'm being pessimistic, but it will pass.
It will pass. It will. It will. You can't have the highs without the lows, because otherwise you won't appreciate the highs. But oh yeah, so like this week, I mean, we're gonna keep it kind of short, hopefully. I mean, hopefully, like, we're gonna try to keep this a short episode, just because we just want to respect everyone's energy here. But I kind of wanted to talk about something, and I kind of talked about this on Instagram a little bit, and I wanted to get Preston's take on it, because I think, I don't know, I got a lot of really interesting feedback. And I feel very mixed about it. But there was one day where I was standing on this median waiting for a bus to arrive. And there's a woman sitting next to me, and she goes like, oh my gosh. She's just like, she just says, oh my gosh. So I look up, and basically what I see is like two guys have jumped out of a van, and there's like this third guy kind of hanging out on the side, but the two guys jump out and they start beating up this fourth guy. And at first I'm just like, what is going on? Like, why are they beating up? Like, what did he do? What did they do? What is going on? And so eventually, like, the two guys stop, they jump back into the van, they drive off, and like a few minutes pass. And then I notice that the guy who's standing off, he picks up this bike and he starts wheeling it away from the scene. And as he's wheeling it away, he's like walking very slow. And then the guy who got beat up, he stands up and is kind of like getting ready to go on his way. But then he, like, you can see him kind of change his mind, and he turns and he decides that he's going to go up to the guy with the bike And I could hear their conversation from where I was at. And the guy with the bike was like, "This is my bike. What are you doing?" And then the other guy's like, "If you don't give it to me, I'm going to stab you." And so it kind of escalated a little bit. Like, there was more words that were exchanged that I can't quite remember, but like eventually the guy with the bike just gave up and gave the man who had gotten beaten up and was trying to steal his bike. He just gave him the bike, and that person went on their way. And then the person whose bike was stolen started walking towards me or where I was standing. And so I like asked him, I was like, "Are you okay?" And he was like, "Yeah, that guy just stole my bike and he tried to steal it twice." And so like the story was that he had been riding his bike. The guy stole his bike. Two people saw it happen. So that's when they like jumped into their van, or they were already in their van, and they turned around, chased the guy down, and then beat him up. And then the rest of the story, which is what I had witnessed. And like in that situation, I felt really helpless and conflicted, and I didn't know what to do, because on some level, like calling the police doesn't feel like the right choice anymore. But like, what do you do? Like, what would you do in that situation? Because I think about what my therapist would say, and she would say, like, just my ex-therapist. she would say, like, you know, like, just walk away or like leave it alone. But I don't like the idea of just being a bystander or like a helpless bystander, because if I am able to help, I would prefer to help. But I didn't know what to do in that situation.
You know, I think that's a very tough spot to be in, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know. I feel torn about how I feel like I would have responded. I think my gut, my instinct, and especially just where I've like grown to as an adult, is that I think my first instinct would be to not engage. And I think a lot of that is because I feel like I have so much, I don't know, it may come off selfish, but it's like, I feel like I have so much that I've worked for and worked to achieve. I now have Tyler. I feel like I have a family. I'm building a family. And to put myself willingly in a situation that could end terribly for me, I think is a bit more than I'm willing to risk.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly. The police would have been the last thing on my brain to call. Like, I never think about the police, because what the police is like, what the fuck? The police? Fuck them. So like, I would have never thought to call the police. But I also think, you know, even aside from you possibly being injured or hurt by engaging, also like, what if you only had half the story and you engaged and maybe you helped the wrong person? You know, there could have been opportunity to help, maybe because homeboy was getting beat up, we would have thought that he was the victim, right? And it was getting beat up by these two people. And so you want to help the guy who originally stole the bike, but then it turned out that he was actually the culprit. So but I hear also on the flip side of, you know, when is it the right time to engage? And when is it the right time to stand up and to fight or to advocate for a stranger or other people? And I think that's a very tough line to walk. And I also think whatever decision a person makes isn't a wrong decision.
So. I think that was a good answer. Cause like, yeah, I thought about a lot of the same things. And like, even when I was sharing the story, like there was some feedback, obviously. And I agree with a lot of the feedback, because I agree with most of it. There's some stuff that I disagree with, but one of the things was that, like, you know, like the guy who stole the bike shouldn't have been beat up. Like, they beat him up pretty bad. And I just, that part, like, I don't agree with. I just don't think that he should have been beaten up the way I saw him being beaten up. I just don't know. I just wouldn't do that. And I understand that they were, like, kind of doing it out of, like, good intention, or maybe not. I don't know if that's good intention, but, like, they're trying to help someone maybe. But to me, that's not the way to handle the situation. But then I also feel bad for the person whose bike was stolen. I think I have this, like, kind of blind spot for international students. This person was an international student. Or he said he was, but, like, it was very clear that he was not from the US. But I have a very big blind spot for, like, certain populations. And one of them is international students or immigrants and old people for whatever reason. I have, like, a huge soft spot for these populations. And so I just felt really bad. I felt bad for both of them. And granted, I felt more bad for the person whose bike was stolen. But I did just feel bad for both of them. And my hope is that the guy who stole the bike really needed it, like, because otherwise that's just a shitty thing to do someone else. And then also be, like, beat up for it and then steal a bike for a second time. Like, that's a lot for someone to go through. And I can't imagine.
You have a beautiful heart. A beautiful heart, because fuck him. I feel like, so if again, we're operating under the assumptions that what the international student told you, mm-hmm. we're operating that is true, that it was fact, right? So fuck homeboy. You can't steal something from somebody and then expect that, you know, you won't, or you, that you wouldn't be punished in some way. I think it's absolutely, and I'm more Malcolm X than Martin Luther King, okay? I'm more Malcolm X, but I feel like, you know, they definitely should have whooped his ass, and then they should have taken the bike, handed it back to homeboy, and, you know, made sure homeboy got away. And then was like, I want to see you get the fuck up. Like, I want to see you get up and try to go, you know, because it's bullshit. You can't just take, people work so hard for the little bit of stuff that they have. And I think that was even more prominent with the pandemic of just how easily, without, you know, missing one paycheck, you know, going on furlough for, you know, a month, 2 months, how that can affect a person's livelihood. And, you know, this student may have saved all of his money for that bike, or that bike could have been his transportation from work to home, or to school to home. You know, it's shame on that man for feeling like, in order to gain access to something he needed or wanted, that he needed to steal it.
You know, and that's another, I appreciate that you brought that up, because another piece of feedback that I got was, like, that no one should have, like, the idea is that, like, there are people out there who think that bike is just property and, like, not worth bodily harm.
Right.
And this is the part that I feel the most conflicted about, because if someone's threatening to stab me, then I will have no problem fighting that person, injuring that person, whatever it is. Like, if someone's threatening my life, then I will pull out my pepper spray or my bear spray, whatever, my nunchucks, my fists. I will pull all of everything that I have out. Because that person's, like, threatening me. And I've been in the situation before. So it's not like, I think it's just like, now it's like an instinct almost. But a lot of people were just saying, like, I would not cause bodily harm over a bike. And, you know, like, I kind of felt the what you were describing just now, because I felt like, you know, if that bike is a means for a livelihood, the thing that, you know, is getting this person to school every day, is getting them to their job every day, then that bike is not just like property. It's, you can't just like simplify it down to property. And the other thing too, again, and I think this is because of my blind spot for immigrant and international students, is like, I remember my parents when we were when we were babies, like they would only spend $20 a week on groceries, and that was all the money they had. And so like for them to own a bike was like a huge luxury, because the price of a rupee in American dollars is a lot. Like I think now it's even more, of course, because of inflation, but like, I think at the time was like 40 rupees is a dollar, and 40 rupees is a lot of money. Yeah. Or not a lot of money, but it's like it's an amount that can get you a decent amount of food and whatever at the time, back in the day. So like, I just think about that too, because I don't know, like it rubbed me the wrong way that that's where people were going with it. And I had to like really sit down and think about like my own values, but I just couldn't get behind that thought process of like, oh, it's just property and not worth fighting back for it. And the guy didn't fight back. Like he let the guy have the bike and he went on his way. But.
And I think you have to also know your limitations, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I feel like you probably felt very capable of defending yourself.
Sure.
You know, in the past, or even if this situation happened to you, you might have felt very capable of defending yourself. But I feel that not everybody is equipped with those skills. Mm-hmm. You know, I have these conversations with Tyler all the time, and he's got a whole lot of mouth. And I'll be like, one day you're going to get knocked out, bro. Like, you're going to get knocked the fuck out because of your mouth. But I already know Tyler can't fight. So, like, I would think Tyler would move a little differently, because he can't. Like, if it's down to Tyler's life or being stabbed, bodily harmed, or a bike, of course, I feel like Tyler needs to give up the bike. Mm-hmm. I struggle with, I struggle both ways, because I feel like either choice is not wrong. I think it's just about the risk you're willing to take. And if you're willing to put yourself in that harm way, because homeboy, maybe he said, yeah, I'll stab you, but you don't know, he could have had a gun. And a gun is going to be most likely less forgiving than a stab wound.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I also think in the situation of bike, I hope I would have just walked away. Who knows? But I think it depends on like what the item was or what was happening. But again, like, I think there's like a certain value to sub property, maybe not a bike, but like, I don't know, if someone was to come into my home or like threaten to take a family member or my dog or like, I don't know what else that I have that is so valuable that I would like, fight for it. I guess, I mean, maybe that's the point, is that I don't have anything that I like think is worth putting myself in danger for. And maybe that's how the other person felt too, now that I'm thinking about it. But I guess my empathy creates a story, right? Creates a story for like why or what justice should look like or what fairness looks like, but maybe it doesn't really even matter. I don't know.
Yeah. And I also, you know, life isn't fair. I get that. But I also feel like at the end of the black ass day, it don't really matter what the bike was for or what the purpose of that bike was used for. It wasn't his. So fuck him. Like, at the end of the day, it is always fuck him, because that bike does not belong to him. So I don't care if I got that bike through winning the lottery. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if I found it on the side of the street and they said, you know, free, And that's how I acquired the bike.
Right.
It's my bike, and I'm going to, and that's not. So fuck you. You can't come over here and just take it just because you think you, mm-hmm. because you think it's your business to take it. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad homeboy got beat up. I honestly feel like they should have knocked his ass smooth the fuck out. And yeah. homeboy should have been able to walk away with his bike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I agree with all of that too. Well, I still struggle with him being beat up because it was pretty bad. But at the end of the day, I feel more bad for the person whose bike was stolen in this story, assuming that his story is true. But yeah, I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about that because it's like, I don't know. It's not something I've had, like Philly, everyone talks about the side of Philly. And I feel like that wasn't the first time I witnessed it firsthand, other than like, there's like an opioid epidemic here too. And I've seen that, but like, that's more like just heartbreaking and not so much violent.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this was just violent and it sucked. It sucked to witness. I felt bad for a lot of people in the situation. And
did you feel like you should have done something? Or
yeah, I mean, I did on some level. Like I was yelling out to the person to stop. And then I called the non-emergency line for the police, actually, because I didn't know what else to do. And the international student, this part also got me like really good. Like it just made me like check my privilege, but he was just like, I don't want to cause problems, so I'm not going to file a report. And that part like also smacked me in the face, like, I don't know. I would never have to think twice about like, if, you know, being involved in a situation like this would threaten my ability to stay in this country and things like that. Like it was just a lot, mm-hmm. a lot of reality checks in a really short amount of time. But yeah, it was just really bad overall. And I wish I could have done more, but at the same time, like there was nothing I could do. I need to start carrying like pepper spray with me. And I've been thinking more about that, but like not from the sense of like helping other people, but I do walk around Philly by myself, and that happened in broad daylight in a nicer part of Philly. And like, I've just been more aware that like that could happen to me too. Just walking down the street in the nicer parts of town. So,
I mean, that's what I thought. I'll think about all the time, you know, being in Chicago, because it's you're no stranger to getting a carjacking or getting stolen. You know, getting something stolen from you. I think it's a harsh reality. A lot of us have to face when you live predominantly in like the inner city areas.
I'm moving back to the Midwest. No.
Uh-huh. I mean, Chicago's the Midwest.
yes, you're right. It is. I'm moving back to like Nebraska.
Yeah, like
I mean, this kind of shit happens in Nebraska.
A suburban area where all they have are like, you know, serial killers and like, you know.
Is that better?
Pedos, and I mean, ugh. It's like white collar crimes, kind of question mark. Not really, but like
not any better.
They're the crimes that I guess you don't associate with people of color too much, and you know they usually live in some sort of suburban ass community.
This is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna buy myself a lot of land. I'm gonna start a commune. And I'm going to invite people. You can come live on my commune, but you have to go through an intensive screening. So there's not going to be any, like, if you're dragging someone's bike, you can't live there anymore. You're not going to get any free food. You're not going to get solar powered energy.
So like a positive cult.
Yeah. But I'm not going to tell them what to do. I mean, they can have sex with whoever they want. They can drink the Kool-Aid or don't drink the Kool-Aid. There's no religion unless they want to be religious. But if they are religious, they can't push it on other people.
So who's going to keep order? You have to be the charismatic figurehead.
Well, part of like the rule is that everyone's responsible for keeping order. This is what this goes back to our leadership conversation where I'm just like, oh, like we don't need a leader. Everyone just needs to feel confident in their ability to contribute effectively to the commune.
Okay. I fully support your radical idea for leadership. Because it just reminds me of, like, you know, one of my favorite stories, The Lord of the Flies. Mm-hmm. Have you ever read that book?
I have, yeah.
And you know how it's like these kids, they don't really have any semblance of, you know, adult government and society. And then through trial and error and a lot of fighting, they naturally begin to develop some of these governmental structures that they would have never been privy to at their age. Mm-hmm. I think they would get stuck on like an island or something, like they're on a boat, they get stuck on an island, something like that.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really fascinating because, you know, they started to embody some of these things that we see in civilized societies of leadership and dictatorship, and you know, some people are the hunters and gatherers, and some people stay and take care of the home. I don't know, but it's like they had these different roles, and so I think your idea, though, sounds beautiful and sounds, you know, like a positive thing. I think ultimately, Mona, you're gonna have to become that charismatic cult leader and
I think I'm just going to invite the people who I know would never screw me over, and then it's like, you know, that's how it's going to be for my generation, and then the generation after me, they're in it for themselves, so they can figure it out, and that's how it's going to be. That's how it was. I shouldn't throw this shade, that's terrible, but but I'm just being petty right now. But I'm just saying, like, there are people that I 100% believe would never screw me over, and I would never screw them over. And those are the only people who are going to be living with me on my commune. And then, like I said, it'll be a one generation thing. When I die, whatever happens after that is whoever's alive, it's their problem, not mine.
Absolutely.
Wow. Who am I?
I fully support your cult. I mean, sorry, not your cult, your cult.
Well, you know, to everyone listening, you're all invited. Well, I'm gonna have to screen you first, so we're gonna be friends for like at least a year before you're invited. Mm-hmm.
I want to be a cult leader. I mean, look at Kanye, he's low-key a cult leader.
Oh my gosh,
I am trying to be one. I just want to see if people listen to me.
Well, you know, I think people are listening. I think they're listening, and I think they're only listening to what you have to say because you're the personality. But
absolutely,
you are invited to come to my commune. You can be the cult leader as long as you do not expect me to follow your rules.
No, there can be no subordination. No, we would have to follow my rules. Well, I would be a horrible cult leader because I know it will go to my head. I already know. Oh, it will go to my head. And I will sit here and just terrorize everybody.
Well, as long as it's not me and my hand-selected people, you do you. You know, you're invited. You can be the cult leader. Just leave the people that I choose alone.
Everyone choose will have to wear a uniform.
Oh my God.
It will be a mix between The Handmaid's Tales and Squid Games. Have you been watching Squid Games?
I have it. So I have a midterm on Monday, and what I told myself that as soon as that midterm's done, I'm binge watching Squid Games, but I haven't done it yet because
so good.
Otherwise I wouldn't study. But yes, I've heard so many, everyone's told me it's so good. And like, I can't wait to watch it. But yeah, wow. We deviated a lot, cults.
We did.
But
to talk about cults today, I'm obsessed. I used to study cults back in the day.
There is this podcast called Cults that is really good. And actually, so I met another Gemini and she and I have become really good friends. And I actually told her about you, and maybe one day I'll introduce y'all to see if you get along or not. Don't Geminis, like, you either do or you don't.
It depends on the month. Yeah. Is she a June or a May Gemini?
I don't know yet. But she was telling me that there's this cult named the Remnant Fellowship in Georgia. And like, I guess it's like a weight loss cult. Super odd.
I feel like I've heard about this.
There's a HBO documentary on it apparently too.
Yes. Okay. That's where I heard about it. I was like, I know I heard about this weight loss cult, but it was from a trailer from the HBO show.
Yeah. So I guess like she went to some of that cult leader's services, like when she was growing up, which is wild. 'Cause that's like one degree of separation there. But have you met anyone who?
So I did when I was younger, but I can't remember the interaction. So apparently on my dad's side, we had some family members who were a part of a cult. If I remember correctly, they were a part of the Branch Davidians. No, that's not right. Because the Branch Davidians are the ones who were in Waco, Texas. This was the one. What is that man's name? They moved to like Ghana. There was a cult that had Ghana or something. Jonestown, that's what it was. Jonestown, and I think this was the one about drinking the Kool-Aid. So I want to say they joined after all of the big news and drinking the Kool-Aid and the mass suicide. They joined after, because it apparently is still a thing today. So like they have branches around of Jonestown. So
I feel like I've heard of this before too. I used to listen to this podcast that was all about cults. That's why I feel like I've heard all of this, but
that's so interesting.
It is. It so is. And I sometimes worry that I'm going to be one of those people who like easily falls into a cult without even knowing it.
I feel like you're not. You're not broken enough. I think they truly target people who are like broken, and they're looking for salvation in some sort of way. So that's why they target a lot of college students, because a lot of college students are trying to figure things out. They're in some sort, they're in some state of transition. They may be, you know, a first time student and, you know, maybe struggling with money or struggling with, you know, balancing everything. So a lot of the times they target college students, they target people who are down on their luck, or they're targeting people who are looking for some sort of transition in their life. So, I mean, I think you're very focused on your goal, which would not make you a great candidate.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up, but yes, you're right. I do have immediate goals. But yeah, so, you know, you're all welcome to be part of my commune. But if you're stealing people's bikes, you're getting kicked out.
Absolutely. And like, we don't have time.
Yeah. And can't be beating people up, and you have to believe in solar power. And I think that's it.
The solar power evangelist. Solar evangelist could be the name.
Oh my gosh.
Of your commune, because it's not a cult.
Yeah, my commune.
Every commune.
It's gonna be my ranch, not even my commune.
Oh, that's even better. Your ranch. I believe that's what what's his name? Mason.
Oh, Charles Mason. No.
I think that's what Charles Mason called his, like a ranch of some sort.
It's gonna be the solar powered evangelical ranch. Wow. We're only gonna grow veggies.
Doesn't sound culty at all. It is totally fun.
Yeah.
I'm sure Charles Manson called his the ranch. I'm fairly certain.
I would believe it. I would believe it. He was wild.
Batshit crazy.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. Mm. But yeah, we'll revisit this in 20 years and see where I'm at. And you know, maybe you'll be the cult leader of the ranch.
I wouldn't put it past me. I've always thought about it. I've always been like, I just want to see if people follow me. Like, I don't want to kill them. I don't want to do anything to harm them. I literally just want to see if they will listen to whatever cockamamie bullshit that I come up, you know, because you heard of like Heaven's Gate, where yes, they believe that they were, if they die or kill themselves, their soul will be transported to like a spaceship and go up
into the
moon. I don't know where they're going, but they're going into the galaxy. And right. Folks believed it. Like, you can literally type it in YouTube right now and see the recruitment videos.
Yeah. And they also had like interviews too, where people were genuinely convinced like that's what, you know, that's where they're gonna end up. It's wild. None of that either on my commune ranch cult.
Mm-hmm.
Not cult.
You're already saying it. You know exactly what it's gonna be, Mona.
Yeah, and we're gonna have a bunch of hydroponic lettuce grows, and so at least you'll be fed. You'll be fed and you won't have bills.
Yeah, it reminds me of what was that? Midsummer? Have you seen that movie? It's a horror movie.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's why I haven't seen it.
Essentially, it is exactly what you are.
No.
It's all about flowers. It's all about growth. They give them mushrooms at the very when they first arrive, and they go on this, like, psychedelic trip. And then things start to unfold, and it becomes a nightmare. So...
Oh, no.
They're all about the natural plants and dancing to the flowers and whatnot. So, anywho.
Okay, well, no psychedelics allowed either. I've already made all the rules, right?
As Mona, it's a cult. You're just going to be in a cult.
Well, fine. I'm uninviting everyone, and it's going to be one person cult, so you can come visit me for a weekend. And that's
sure.
it.
Absolutely.
I don't know why I'm so opposed to having a cult.
I mean, I don't know. You could have one, just, you know. Yeah, you can do the positive things, but, you know, when people get out of line or when people don't abide by the rules, then there needs to be discipline. And as the leader, you're the one that has to dish it out. So,
yeah,
you know, have fun.
But
we've definitely started to digress. I mean, we are not even talking about what we're talking about. So
I know, yeah.
Maybe that means we should wrap it up.
Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, don't go around stealing other people's bikes. Let me know what you would do or what you think the proper action is. Or like, yeah, because it still puzzles me to this day. Like, again, I'd never want to be just a bystander. I think that differs. I don't have like kids or a spouse or anything like that. So maybe that's why mm-hmm. I feel like this. And maybe I'd feel differently if I did have kids or a spouse or whatever. But yeah, let me know if you have like ideas for what you would do in that situation or what you wouldn't do even. Cause again, I think this whole thing has made me like really evaluate my values and like, yeah, it made me think about what I personally think is right and wrong. I don't think there's a wrong answer, but it's made me think a lot about other people's values and whether or not, like, I agree with them. or not. But I, let's say, haven't found a reflection of any one person or any one ideal or value. But yeah, so let me know. But otherwise, we're going to keep this short. We're trying to protect everyone's energy here again. And you can go follow Preston at Flex and Preston or Charming Preston. You can follow me at Miss Kimono or The Bumbling PhD. I have been posting on my personal account. So yeah, and nothing exciting. It's all my plants, my hydroponic plants. Practicing for my cult.
They look really good though. Your vegetables look really nice. So
yeah, I'm excited. You should. You should. It's so easy. Especially hydroponics. It's so easy. But yeah. So you can go follow me there. You should go follow the podcast at Unanthropologetic Podcast on Instagram. Definitely leave us a like, a comment, subscribe on the Apple platform. Mm-hmm. And anything that I'm missing?
No, I think you actually covered everything. So
yeah, if you want to join my commune, just let me know. We'll figure it out. But until next time, take care.